From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel. They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan, the Tennessee pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Now, guys, I'm thinking for the beginning of this, we get into, like, let's really set the scene. Dylan, Andrew, could we get some kind of, like, ominous, you know, espionage music? Perfect.
Dun, dun, all right. Dun, 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 yeah. dun. No, that's yeah. not ominous. Sorry. Well, too upbeat. Like,
yeah,
too upbeat.
Yeah. No, give us, like, you're great at this, Noel. Give us, like, a ominous.
You want a beat? Okay, here, I'll give you ominous. Here comes ominous.
Okay.
Just doing a drone.
Nice.
I did a drone.
I like it. Here we go. I love a throat sing. So we're setting the scene. Fellow conspiracy realists, let's say Matt, Noel, you, and I have all gathered together. We're off the books. We're in an out-of-the-way cafe. It's a side street in Vienna. And Noel, Matt, we're grabbing coffee.
Do they have cafe au lait?
Whichever you like to order. Okay. Remember, there is symbolism involved.
Okay, got it. Carry on.
So we're having a polite conversation with a well-dressed, unremarkable, middle-aged gentleman. And we've all, you know, all four of us have seen this guy here and there at previous parties. He speaks with a refined, posh, Oxford-tented English accent, yet we know him as a representative of our friends in Moscow. In this conversation, which is polite as pie, he speaks for Moscow. And so he comes to us, Matt, Noel, and we're getting, you know, Noel's got cafe au lait. Matt, what kind of thing do you get at a coffee?
Barkeep. Yes, yes. I'll have one Bailey's in a shoe.
Oh,
okay. Bailey's in a shoe, cafe au lait, call me espresso. We're having this very polite conversation with this guy, and he places two documents on the table. The first document is a police report, and this police report, translated from Russian, details a fatal car crash earlier that week. Just that week in St. Petersburg. Turns out a U.S. diplomat pulled a hit and run after colliding with a young man on a motorbike. The second document shows a photo that all of us recognize. It's a man that we internally call John Smith. He's been held in Russian custody for 3 years now. And this well-dressed man putting these things, again, politely on the table in this out-of-the-way cafe, he says, "My friends, we can all agree it's best to keep things collegiate. We are at a wonderful time in our conversation, so why rock the boat? Surely we can figure this out together."
Jeez. Ben, is this story...
Man. I'm cool. I'll do whatever you say, buddy. That accent. Ben, you won me over.
Is this story referencing the actual crash and death that involved Harry Dunn?
Which we will get to, let's say, loosely inspired by possible events.
I see. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
What do we do? Oh, it's not really for us to do. We kind of know where things stand, right? Isn't that the whole idea, that we're being strong-armed at this cafe amongst polite cohorts?
But wait, who are we? Why is he telling us
this? Who are we?
we're just some guys at a cafe.
Okay.
Weird.
Very slow horses.
So, folks, welcome to our episode on diplomatic immunity.
Do you love me? Sorry, that was a reference.
I know what it's a reference to, Matt.
Yeah, I know. We all know.
Okay, all right.
And we all know, just like we're at the cafe.
Yep. That's what I said to the guy.
Because I need your love a lot. Come on now.
Excuse me, Viennese server. Could we have one more Bailey's in a shoe, another cafe au lait, an espresso, and my friend? What kind of coffee would you like?
Earl Grey is what he did.
Earl Grey. Drink coffee. Sleepy time in a busy town. Mm-hmm.
Let's hit a quick sponsor break and we'll be back with more on Diplomatic Immunity.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
The U.S. Virgin Islands invites you to discover the stunning beauty of St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John. The U.S. Virgin Islands is truly a magical place, one of a kind, and unlike any other destination. With incredible food, warm hospitality, vibrant culture, and breathtaking beaches, it's everything you could want in a vacation. And the best part, no passport needed when traveling from the U.S. No hassle, just easy travel. Whether it's the world-famous Trunk Bay in St. John that was voted the best beach in the world, the picturesque Megan's Bay Beach, or the stunning Point Udall, America's easternmost point, USVI will take you to a place that no other Caribbean destination can match. For most, the U.S. Virgin Islands is just a quick nonstop flight or a simple connection away. Start planning your getaway to America's Caribbean at visitusvi.com. That's visitusvi.com. USVI, naturally in rhythm.
The best AI assistant isn't one that knows the whole world. It's one that knows your world. A custom assistant built on Watson X with IBM's Granite models can leverage your trusted data, be easily trained on your workflows, and integrate with your apps. It can be tuned to do just what you need, because the more AI knows about your world, the more it can help you do. Learn more at ibm.com/productivity. IBM. Let's create.
Here are the facts. All right. What is diplomatic immunity? First off, you know, obviously it's, I don't know, the weirdest thing we can say about it is it's like a cultural version of vaccination.
Can we also say real quick right up front, it's some bullshit?
Yeah. Yeah, it really does seem like that, especially when you get into the real world examples that even people like the State Department make YouTube videos to try and explain. And when you watch them and you hear the way local law enforcement officers are supposed to interact with consulates and diplomats.
Why am I picturing a training video from the 90s, Matt, when you're describing this? I'm sorry. Feels.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, cool.
But very animated. Similar. But animated to show,
to be approachable.
Because, yeah, well, and you can't show anything that actually happened or any of the specifics, but you can just illustrate what happens in these situations. So diplomatic immunity, what these things are trying to show, right, is the literal immunity that certain individual human beings have to the laws of a certain country they're operating in, because they don't live there.
They're special.
They're on a mission there.
They are
to the rule of law. Yeah. It's at the most basic level, it's the idea that certain human individuals, due to their position in one government, will be wholly or partially exempt from the rule of law in another government, in another regime. So this guarantees basic stuff like freedom and travel, safe passage in or out of a country. And to this point, you know, obviously it sounds a little bit bonkers. Like, why are we placing some people as automatically better than other people?
Question: is this the kind of thing that the current administration might start to put the kibosh on? It just seems very anti their whole vibe.
Well, as we'll see, there are a lot of conspiratorial soft factors involved. That's an excellent question. And it's one that people have wrestled with for, no kidding, millennia. History has proven that concepts like diplomatic immunity are surprisingly ancient. You can go to Indian epics like the Ramayana. You can look through any number of examples in ancient Greece and Rome. Cultures across the world kind of have this, and across the chasms of time, they kind of have this loose gentleman's agreement or understanding that if, you know, King Matt sends a messenger, an envoy to the Sultan Noel, thing is, no matter what kind of news is delivered, the receiving sultan is not going to kill the messenger, not going to kill that envoy. That's the origin of the old saying, don't shoot the messenger.
Unless you're the mouth of Sauron, in which case you get your head cut off.
Well, see. But guys, Plutarch and Sophocles taught us about these in the stories that they wrote. And one of the primary ones that is cited often is this concept of one, I guess, sultan or king or somebody at the highest level of government in a country did that very thing where he got so angry at the bad news that was delivered that he killed that person. Right. And then everyone was afraid to share information to that king. That was bad.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly think there's way problematic issues around it that we're going to get into. But in general, it is sort of a guarantee that information can be shared freely without fear of immediate retribution.
Yeah. And as always, let's go to the primary source. I love that you're pointing that out, Matt. The line that stands out to me, and I think to a lot of us, is from Plutarch in his work Lives, where he says, "The first messenger that gave notice of Lucullus's coming was so far from pleasing Tigranes that he had his head cut off for his pains, and no man dared to bring further information. Without any intelligence at all, Tigranes sat while war was already blazing around him, giving ear only to those who flattered him."
Well, that's the point, right? That's kind of the point of this. It's one of the main points of the State Department and a lot of the stuff that exists under the State Department is to intelligence gather. That's what all of this is about. So even as diplomats are operating within the United States, and United States diplomats are, quote, operating in other countries, it is this weird little game that we've talked about in our spy episodes. It isn't exactly the same thing, but it is directly tied to it.
And as we'll see, there are other forms of immunity that I think trouble all of us, especially with the KSA, Saudi nationals, and some incidents in Japan where they absconded with, or they leveraged state power and corruption to save a cannibal from justice. We'll get to that toward the end as well. I mean, like, this is the great point. It is not to say that everyone always respects this loose agreement, especially pre-Vienna. There are so many real-life horror stories about rulers who got bad news and they broke a covenant. They didn't just murder the messenger. They didn't just shoot the messenger. They would torture them in brutal ways and then send pieces of the body back as the message to that foreign power. In general, to the earlier point, across the span of human civilization, everybody said, you know, this is dirty pool. This is below the belt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Before we go below the belt, guys, can we just quickly talk about town criers?
Sure, yeah.
I think we mentioned claimers. Yeah, I think we mentioned it before. I can't remember the context of the episode, but it was kind of, I don't know, mind-blowing in a way, but also makes a lot of sense. That back in the day, specifically in the United Kingdom, it was treasonous to harm a town crier. I feel like we talked about this before.
We have, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that we could, in a way, the crier was the diplomat of the crown, like that coming out to the people to speak, right? Of the words of the king or the queen or whatever.
And in a certain, it's in theory an arrangement that benefits both the people and the crown.
Well, it's the Twitter of the town, right? It's the social media of the day. So if you have a problem with what's being said and you kill the platform, then now you have to find a new platform. So there's logic to it.
Yeah, well, and it's a full affront to the person who was making those statements, right? This concept of that. And that's the way I'm thinking about consulates and diplomats now in this version, right?
Yeah, metonymy. Like in our early, in our opening thought experiment, this Oxford accented man speaks for Moscow.
Exactly.
Very much is Moscow. And so the town crier is very much the king. And so a relative of a sovereign back in the cursed days of monarchies, the relative of the sovereign is metonymy for the sovereign, is the crown, is speaking for and on behalf thereof. So the logic being that any injury or insult to that envoy is indeed a direct attack upon the government or the regime represented. You know, it's so weird because this was incredibly important back in the day. It was such a party foul that the intelligentsia of the time would say, if you, even if we don't have, you know, modern laws, if you break this agreement, if you kill the messenger, you have violated divine protocol.
It's an act of
the
war.
The gods shall punish you.
It's an act of war at the very least, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And happened very many times, especially as the Khanate expands through so much stuff. So many examples. We can fast forward to modern diplomatic immunity, let's call it 1961. There's a little town in Austria called Vienna. They're known for their coffee shops. There's a thing that occurs in 1961, the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. This is still to this day, as we record on April 18th, 2025, it is still regarded as one of the bar none top tier international agreements in all of human history, because it says, look, even if your countries are fighting, even if there is a regional, or dare we say a world war, we're all going to make a deal where you can send representatives to, you know, respond to stuff, to propose some stuff, and you can't kill them. You got to let them get out.
Yeah, well, just this concept that we all need to be able to talk first about whatever it is, whether it's economic stuff, whether it's trading, you know, making some kind of trade for prisoners, you know, all of these things. We need to be able to talk at least before we start firing weapons at each other. It's a great idea. It is weird to me that it was written in 1961, but it wasn't officially entered into force for 3 years. Well, almost exactly 3 years in 1964. So
The U.S. didn't have a version until 1968.
Yeah. So it makes sense, though, that I guess it would take that long for enough countries to say, okay, yes, we agree, when everybody else sends people to us, we'll be careful with them and let them do whatever they want. Even though it isn't saying that. The accords and this convention and everything, it gets really close to saying people can just do what they need to do in your country.
It's very much like, in personal experience, we won't spend too much time on it. It's very much like, for anyone who's been to a college dormitory and you have an RA or something, where they resident advisors, and they say, look, I'm just a few years older than you. We're all from different places. We all got to live together.
It's such a funny way of like becoming the op so quickly. You know, it's like the hall monitor, right?
Yeah, just don't make trouble. You know what I mean? Like if you you might drink a little beer, you might smoke a little pot, or just don't let people see it and don't be a dick to the other people in the dorm.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. That's just one flavor of RA, but then you also have the real hard-nosed ones that everyone despises. But you're absolutely right, Ben.
But it, for me, it goes even further. It's and also, I'm the RA. So I'm going to need to do things in here that you don't need to know about. But I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be doing these things. And you might even see me doing some of these things.
Yes. But that's great.
If I do it, it doesn't mean you can do it.
That's great, because now our RA, I love this example, because now our RA is going to one dorm room and saying, look, we all know this guy came into your room and took a massive shit. And he did smear it on the walls.
No!
But there are factors at play that are bigger than this. All right.
Yeah. He doesn't have to clean it up. That's just part
of the
rules.
We'll send someone.
Yep, sure. And we will also let me, the RA, know that he did it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I'm aware that he did it.
We all know, we've all seen his SpongeBob pants. It's clearly this guy. So investigations continue. Yeah, this is at heart a mission critical thing. This practice of the concept of don't shoot the messenger, diplomatic immunity, it has saved civilization from war. And it has definitely saved a lot of diplomats and a lot of diplomats, but it's
and it's made a lot of deals too.
It's made so many deals. That's part of it. There is very much an art of a deal unrelated to the book. This is also a concept that's that all of us found widely misunderstood in the modern day. I remember when this came up and we decided to make an episode about it. Maybe it was on air, maybe we were hanging out, but the question is diplomatic immunity really a get out of jail free card? But can some, if you're powerful enough in, say, a foreign ministry or a U.S. State Department, can you actually get away with murder? To understand that, we got to bust some myths.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm already so uncomfortable.
It's okay. Yes, because we can get prosecuted.
Yeah.
Like the three of us. And
I go into the Nordstrom somewhere and take $3,000 worth of business jackets and stuff them into a bag.
Nordstrom
and then,
rack, maybe.
Get out of here.
Let's ground this in reality. Okay.
No,
okay.
This is an actual this real example. And I walk out and the store says, hey, you can't do that. And they call the police. Mm-hmm. I go to jail for a felony, but some other people might not.
Here's the thing, though. Here's my question. Did not. Do they get to keep the stuff?
All right. You said you were going to be cool, man.
I'm just asking. It seems like there has to be a limit to this diplomatic immunity business.
All right. Yes. And that's perfect. That's our first misconception. And it's partially the fault of Hollywood and fiction and film. Not every embassy employee the world round has some sort of magical blanket immunity. Under the Vienna Convention of 1961, which again, the vast majority of countries have ratified, the laws of this magic getaway card only applies to the top diplo dogs. So if you're, say, one of the IT guys, massive apologies, you still have to pay your parking tickets at some point. Unless you're not really an IT guy, whatever. So if you're a non-embassy employee, right? Like if we all just get a wild hair and we say, hey, when's the last time we went to Bhutan together? If we're just visiting a country, we don't get immunity. And that's why it is very important wherever you live. If you are traveling to a different country, always check to see whether your country, your origin country, has an embassy or a consulate in the place that you are visiting. Let them know your travel plans if it is possible for you to do so.
Yes.
Yeah. The U.S. State Department is, you know, we know folks in there. They're doing their best, kind of in an uphill situation right now, but they will be readily transparent with any concerns they might have.
Dude, let's really quickly, I think we've talked about this too, but let's establish this as well. You'll hear the words embassy and consulate thrown around sometimes as
the same thing,
synonymous, yeah. Yeah. But they are not the same thing. An embassy is the primary version of one state's operations within another state, like a host country. Mm. And then and that's usually in like the capital city, but then the consulate is, there can be multiple consulates, and those are in strategic areas for maybe economic stuff, trade stuff, or other types of missions that might be happening within a host country. But they're very interesting. You can look up both. You can get into the minutia of it as like officially what they do, but diplomatic relations between the two governments generally occur at the embassy. Consulate stuff often goes into like the cultural things, which is really interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's where, I don't know. I feel like that's where some of the shenanigans can occur there, because it is they are the people. The consulate is the place where the one-on-one stuff happens between people who are visiting a host country from the consulate's country. That's where they interact often.
Yeah, picture it like DMV or DDS. Our official line is that for someone visiting a foreign country, your consulate, your regional consulate is going to be the place where there's a little window and you wait in line for a form or a stamp. That is our official line. To your point, Matt, there are many cultural programs out of consulates, and there's great time and care paid to those programs.
Oh yeah. I got, I got invited to a very interesting cultural thing for China recently here through my son's school. That was very interesting the way it was worded.
Did you go?
No, I haven't gone yet, but I might.
What do you mean? Just very...
Can Noel and I go?
Oh yes. Can we crash? Can we crash?
It's maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Can you
it's
give us a very, little taste of the,
no, it's just, it's
so language.
Did they give you the jimmies or something? What's going on?
I didn't get the jimmies. I got the shakes.
Ah, yes.
No, no, I just, it was one of those things where the way it was worded specifically was so much in promotion of China. It reminded me a bit of some of the Shenyun stuff, but maybe from the States side. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Such that I think I may, we're not going to say it on air, but I think I may know what you're talking about.
I think I might've gotten an invite too.
Also, there's an international rug convention that occurs every so often in Houston and Atlanta, if you guys want to go.
That sounds great.
I am
actually
in need of some tasteful throws.
speaking of tasteful throws, here's the straight poop on this.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide. Backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
The U.S. Virgin Islands invites you to discover the stunning beauty of St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John. The U.S. Virgin Islands is truly a magical place, one of a kind and unlike any other destination. With incredible food, warm hospitality, vibrant culture, and breathtaking beaches, it's everything you could want in a vacation. And the best part, no passport needed when traveling from the U.S. No hassle, just easy travel. Whether it's the world-famous Trunk Bay in St. John that was voted the best beach in the world, the picturesque Megan's Bay Beach, or the stunning Point Udall, America's easternmost point, USVI will take you to a place that no other Caribbean destination can match. For most, the U.S. Virgin Islands is just a quick nonstop flight or a simple connection away. Start planning your getaway to America's Caribbean at visitusvi.com. That's visitusvi.com. USVI, naturally in rhythm.
Your business deploys AI pilots everywhere, but are they going anywhere? Or are they stuck in silos, exhausting resources, unable to scale? Maybe you don't need hundreds of AI pilots. You need a holistic strategy. IBM has 65,000 consultants with Gen AI expertise who can help you design, integrate, and optimize AI solutions. So you're not just deploying AI, you're scaling it across your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM, let's create.
And we're back.
If you are one of those top Diplo dogs, you are an ambassador, usually in the U.S. at least, typically there's a mix between lifelong career public servants, very highfalutin experts on a region, and straight up political hires. There are ambassadors who might not even speak the language of the country in which they reside, but if you are in that rarefied air, you cannot be handcuffed, arrested, detained. You can't even be prosecuted by law enforcement in the country that you're working in. Caveat, asterisk.
Dude, can I give a quick example of
this?
Please
do.
Okay, so the State Department of the United States, or the United States State Department.
DOS.
Sorry, or the U.S. Department of State, they have a YouTube channel, you guys. And on that YouTube channel, they posted this thing, and they give an example of that I kind of already talked about. It's the woman who was caught shoplifting $3,000 worth of goods from a mall. The police showed up, and they said, oh, yeah, you have too much. This is like too much money in goods. This is a felony. I have to detain you. Like, I have to arrest you.
And she said, oh, tag base.
Well, she said, no, this is a real example the State Department gave. She said, oh, no, my husband is a diplomat. I have diplomatic immunity. And everybody who has diplomatic immunity or supposedly has a State Department issued ID, like a driver's license, but from the State Department. And she shows that to the police officer. The police officer is required to make a phone call that just goes to the State Department, and they say, hey, I am confirming these numbers on the back of, you know, this ID, this person's identity. And the State Department will say yes or no to whether or not this person has immunity. If they have immunity, in this case, the felony part, the arrest, cannot happen. The arrest cannot happen. So she has to be let go and just go on her way. Yeah. Like, really?
That's true. That is all true. Everything you just heard is factual, folks. There are other misconceptions. That's a high-level thing. It doesn't always happen. For instance, if you're the spouse of an administrative employee, you may not have the same considerations and superpowers. People also may be confused diplomatic immunity with the idea of that as soon as you put your foot over the threshold of an embassy, you are automatically on sovereign territory. That is not quite true. You do not automatically get the rights guaranteed in U.S. law just because you made it past the front gate. There are exemptions and exceptions to this, to all of these concepts. Most notably and horrifically, I think we've all seen the stories of North Korean refugees escaping the Hermit Kingdom and getting by hook or by crook to mainland China and then risking their lives to get past those front gates. for the ROK, that'd be South Korea, to most Americans, or to the U.S. Embassy or another friendly country. And you can see terrible videos of Chinese authorities literally snatching these people by the back of the neck as they're almost to freedom.
By the scruff? You
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just so. And if if China catches these folks first, they're considered not refugees, but rather illegal economic immigrants. They're deported back to a life of horror in the DPRK. So there are exceptions, sort of like how for a long time during the Cold War, United States standing policy is, hey, we don't like illegal immigration, but if you are from Cuba and you touch foot on the soil, we got you.
Mm.
Not if you're Haitian, not if you're from the Dominican Republic, but specifically if you're from Cuba and you make that 90-mile trek, then we got you. So there are many exceptions to these ideas of immunity.
Oh, for sure. And the State Department wants you to know that just because someone has immunity doesn't mean they have immunity of consequences for their actions.
Right.
They're very strict about this. And they say just because somebody can't get arrested for a felony they committed doesn't mean that the State Department isn't going to get a full detailed report of that incident. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the embassy itself or the consulate or the State Department will take action.
That could mean losing your job at the very least, right? Or getting stripped of your diplomatic, special powers. Yes.
Yeah. You nailed it. There are consequences because being exempt from, like, having diplomatic immunity in a destination country or a country of residence does not provide diplomatic immunity in a country of origin.
Well, and let's just remember too that this all even comes into play and stuff kicks in when you get caught. Everybody knows, you know, and then it becomes a potential diplomatic crisis or a PR nightmare has to be dealt with in some way, you know, to keep the relationship between the countries, you know, in good standing.
Yes, many variables, and I want to spend a second before we move on to that idea of getting caught.
Yes.
Getting officially caught is not the same thing as the polite conversation we had at the top of this show in Vienna.
Oh, absolutely, it's not the same thing. It's also getting caught by a police officer that just lets you go isn't the same thing as being caught in the public eye, right? Let's get to this next point about diplomats and consular employees driving vehicles in other
parking
countries.
Parking violations.
Parking violations, moving violations, driving, traffic motor violations.
Right. DUIs as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is a real big deal. And we talked about it when we went pretty deep into the diplomatic relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia a while back. And we talked about this a bit.
But our previous episode, why does the U.S. let Saudi fugitives flee the country? We're going to spend some time on that later, too. We recorded that in 2020.
Oh, yeah. So not that long ago. Oh, my God. I can't believe we're so far from 2020 already. But this is a huge deal because just like that other example, the State Department goes into some of these violations, including getting like. Anyone else in the world would get a DUI if they were definitely intoxicated and crashed their very nice consular vehicle into, you know, a railing and destroy their vehicle. But in that case, a police officer cannot arrest that person for any of those things. They just have to let them go and notify the State Department.
See the card, make the call. Yeah, this is a third lighter misconception. Parking violations. It's a whole ridiculous bag of badgers. We do want to recommend an excellent piece from NPR way back in 2011. Shout out to the journalist Mark Memmott, who points out that Washington, D.C. and New York City in particular are still quarreling with various foreign diplomats and embassies regarding parking tickets. Now, if you've ever been to New York City or D.C., first off, they're great towns. They're two of the best towns in the entirety of the United States. And parking sucks there. parking is a hostile environment in DC. Yeah. And these folks have people, they have, you know, stuff to do, matters as state. It's ongoing. But the scary thing is, unlike an average person, a non-diplomat committing a crime, every crime you commit in this role is negotiable. Mm-hmm. And that's where the danger lies.
Oh, dude. In the example the State Department gave of that DUI dude, who then the DUI dude, it was in Maryland, by the way, right outside DC, I think, mm-hmm. Anne Arundel County.
Makes sense.
It's where it all happened. The embassy, his home country's embassy that's within the United States, ended up terminating his assignment and sent him home. And the U.S. State Department suspended his license that he got mm-hmm. through them. And they made him pay for his three other violations, which I'm pretty sure were parking violations,
sure.
as you were talking about, Ben. But sure. so there are consequences for these things, right? But it's yep. not at all, as you're saying, the same way that anybody else would get would have to deal with consequences.
Right, right. It's a different. It's still a pop, but it's a different kind of. And we're not going to overuse that sound cue. The other thing we have to set up here is that. This type of immunity is not permanent, nor is it consistent. One of the first things they really hammer home in DOS or in any foreign ministry kind of employment regimen is the following. Your origin country can always get a call and they can agree to waive immunity. Just because, you know, you are the high muckety muck for whatever Ottoman Empire is in vogue, it doesn't mean the Ottoman Empire is required to support you. They can get the call and they can say, oh, yeah, oh, man, beat me here, Dylan. They can say, oh, yeah, no, yeah, fuck that guy. Put him under the jail. You can meet with consequences. And it's all because, despite the modern legalese and all the accords and whatnot, this is still the ancient gentleman's agreement. People are still just sort of handshaking on this thing, and that should scare you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Just to get on in that idea that you put forward, Ben, the idea that diplomatic immunity has varying degrees, right? Because there's one last example I want to put out here from that video. I'm sorry, guys. I got all hyped on this animated State Department video. This one other thing.
They're really good, by the way. Everybody should check them out.
Yeah. You guys know the Highway 400 that goes from Atlanta up mm-hmm. north. Mm-hmm. There's an example from Roswell, Georgia, which is a town along that highway as you're going back into the city, where a dude got pulled over on August 4th. They didn't give it like a year. I don't know why. But he was going 92 miles per hour on 400, which is a big no-no. Police officer, lights and sirens, pulled the guy over. He showed his State Department ID. It got checked there via the phone number you call on the back. And it was noted that this guy does have diplomatic immunity, but the State Department says this, quote, the driver as a consular officer has immunity only for his consular functions.
Right.
So he had to appear before a criminal court for charges regarding non-official acts. So in this mm-hmm. case, he got cited for like unsafe driving and like was because he was going so fast over the speed limit, which I believe is like 55, maybe 65, right in that area. But he did have to end up going to court for that, for those charges. But this is what the State Department finishes that with. This is the case for most consular officers, but there are some exceptions, so always call the State Department. And that is speaking directly to law enforcement officers.
Just check in. And we'll get to that point about official versus personal duties as well. What we got to hit you with here, folks, is that there are obviously a lot of loopholes, caveats, soft variables, asterisks, so on. As a result, it is sadly not surprising that the concept of diplomatic immunity has been corrupted, conspired with, leveraged, and abused. And that's what we're looking at tonight. We're going to take a break for a word from our sponsors, and then we'll ask what happens when this immunity goes wrong.
time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer, the ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys, who can't say the same. Looks like Bad Dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
The U.S. Virgin Islands invites you to discover the stunning beauty of St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John. The U.S. Virgin Islands is truly a magical place, one of a kind, and unlike any other destination. With incredible food, warm hospitality, vibrant culture, and breathtaking beaches, it's everything you could want in a vacation. And the best part, no passport needed when traveling from the U.S. No hassle, just easy travel. Whether it's the world-famous Trunk Bay in St. John that was voted the best beach in the world, the picturesque Megan's Bay Beach, or the stunning Point Udall, America's easternmost point, USVI will take you to a place that no other Caribbean destination can match. For most, the U.S. Virgin Islands is just a quick nonstop flight or a simple connection away. Start planning your getaway to America's Caribbean at visitusvi.com. That's visitusvi.com. USVI, naturally in rhythm.
Your business deploys AI pilots everywhere. But are they going anywhere? Or are they stuck in silos? Exhausting resources, unable to scale. Maybe you don't need hundreds of AI pilots, you need a holistic strategy. IBM has 65,000 consultants with Gen AI expertise who can help you design, integrate, and optimize AI solutions. So you're not just deploying AI, you're scaling it across your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM, let's create.
Here's where it gets crazy. All right, first type of corruption with this, the funniest one. We have it in the notes as screw you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. That's about right.
Yeah, so what happens, Noel? What is screw you guys as the first type of corruption?
Yeah, I think it's relatively self-explanatory. In some cases, when a foreign government gets into a situation involving diplomatic immunity, they may just decide to ignore the rules of that country that their person is deployed in. So this is once again kind of a callback to some of those ancient examples of don't kill the messenger, diplomatic immunity, you know, 1.0. So just as there were warlords of the time who might slice the head off of someone bringing some particularly unwelcome news and send that head back to the rival rulers as a sign of their displeasure, dare we say, an act of war. More modern governments, you know, have exercised a slightly less dramatic, but equally FU form of violating terms of the Vienna Convention. Numerous times this has happened over the course of more modern history. It often happens during periods of international or regional dispute, particularly when there is something of an uprising or a revolution occurred.
Revolution.
Yeah.
Pre-war and during war. Yeah. That's when the paranoia gets its worst.
I mean, technically, isn't all time not during war, pre-war, you know?
That's good. Or post-war. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but then post-war is another form of pre-war because we know it's coming.
Yeah.
But you don't kill them in post-war, right?
That's true.
That's when you watch it.
That's when you try to be nice and make agreements.
Nuremberg has entered the chat. The idea is... I would argue human civilization is in a toxic relationship with itself.
Yes, well put.
Just a few periods in between violence. What I love about the example you're setting out there, Noel, the anecdote of warlords of old deciding or choosing how they send their reply or their message, it reminds me of the old joke. I don't know how familiar this is with a lot of people, but the old joke goes... The guy, one of the court members, opens the box that is returned from the Conet, and they find a human head with the word "no" written on it. And they
do
say,
they really need the "no"? I mean, let's just be real.
Yeah, no, it's insult to injury. They said, "Your Highness, I believe the Khan has."
Reply.
With revolutions, we got two examples that'll be helpful here and hopefully memorable to all of us playing along tonight. The chaos
more memorable than receiving a head in a box.
Well, we're not going to send heads. I don't think we have it in the budget.
Yeah, that's
this
fair. They
episode.
Are quite pricey, especially the really photorealistic looking fake ones.
Pinkies exclusively.
Yeah, or pinky toes.
Toes, very very much, in my opinion, an overrated part of human anatomy.
Okay.
Check out the Daily Zeitgeist.
All right.
So it's the French Revolution. There's this guy named Napoleon. He's most famous for being in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the first one. Mm-hmm.
Pivotal character.
Really the star of the show. This guy, Napoleon, who was not that short, he went crazy arresting all foreign diplomats he could touch during his rise to power and his ascendancy toward the French Empire. And he did this despite the sort of gentleman's agreement about diplomatic immunity. He arrested all these folks because he said they're actively conspiring against the new France.
This sounds really familiar. This is sounding
well,
very...
Enemies all around me from all the countries.
Well, history would prove Napoleon batshit crazy for a number of reasons, but it would also prove him correct in this regard. The monarchical powers of Europe were super pissed at him. And they were doing anything they could to kill him.
Well, when you treat everyone like an enemy for long enough, they eventually become enemies. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's so weird how that works. Well, then in 1979, we had another revolution, this time in Iran, and it was a whole other bag of badgers.
That's right. 53 U.S. citizens that included diplomats were held hostage inside the U.S. embassy in Tehran. The Iranian Revolution really could be a series unto itself, but we'll just talk about how this impacted the idea of diplomatic immunity. The positive note is, of course, that the hostages were released. However, it's a bit of a play, you know, when you look at the timing, it just feels, you know, like, but that's sort of the nature of a lot of these diplomatic deals. They're all kind of strategic plays.
Mm. And you can go back to 2018 and listen to our episode that we did on Iran back in the day. Can't remember what it was called, but it was about the imperial time in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And then how everything changed. And I think we even touched on this exact revolution.
Mm-hmm. You can also watch, this is popular in Western media, you can watch film adaptations like Argo, I think it's called, which goes into the hostage crisis.
Where they made like a fake movie. And that was true. That actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those hostages are released on January 20th, 1981. This shows us that there are bigger issues, not just with the concept of diplomatic immunity, but with the concept of international accords in general. The rules only work when everyone agrees to follow them. just like painted lines on the interstate are the only thing stopping other cars from swerving at you.
And that nice thing that some new cars have that makes you stay in the same lane, mm-hmm. but sometimes doesn't understand what lanes are.
It beeps at you when it turns off, though. At least mine does. I've been using it. It actually works relatively well most of the time.
Or it makes you try and turn into traffic across the line because it doesn't understand it's a line.
Yeah, like how early GPS services would say, the best possible move is for you to take this impossible left.
Yeah, through the woods.
Through the woods.
Into the lake.
Over the river.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, if a given state doesn't want to play along, they're a sovereign power. The international community can impose consequences. Carrot and stick stuff, right? Sanctions. We're going to pull out of this deal. But if we exercise empathy, we realize these macro maneuvers, they're not really helpful to the individuals who have been detained, imprisoned, tortured, or murdered in the meantime. And, you know, we're not going to get too into this for our own time here, but we also suggest to you folks that there are state powers currently using quote-unquote terrorist groups as proxies when they violate diplomatic immunity. So they can say, oh my gosh, it wasn't us. You guys, we're just as confused and pissed off and worried as you. You know, oh, by the way, you have a few of our very innocent people in your prison. If you consider a trade of some sort, we can talk with these terrorists. Even though we don't know them, again, and we definitely don't control them, maybe we can work something out.
Wow.
Spooky stuff.
Dirty.
Yeah. Sometimes immunity doesn't, it just doesn't work. That's not the worst part. Let's go to the second type of corruption. Oh, crimes. Oh, who doesn't love to do a good crime? Don't email us.
Just really feels good. Yeah. It really makes you feel alive.
Yeah, just have a feeling. You know, so diplomatic immunity can be weaponized as a cover for criminal activity. As was pointed out earlier, the law and all international accords technically do not cover. You don't get immunity if you are doing private acts that are unrelated to official duties. To spin this out, that means that if you are a top level diplomat, you get caught doing something unclean and creepy or just dumb and impulsive, like shoplifting, you would have to prove that's part of your official duties. That doesn't mean you automatically get in trouble, but if you or your legal team can make a case that says, you know, this guy is stealing snacks and one tourist hat as a diplomat, as a representative of the UK or the US, then you scooch in.
Is that the same as leaning in?
I'm not sure.
Okay, fair. Oh, guys, I can't believe I haven't already brought it up. Whenever we talk about diplomats, I'm always fascinated by this idea of this attaché case or this diplomatic pouch that everyone's always screaming about. That's where all the secrets are hidden, right?
That's the hot one, yeah. Diplomatic pouch or diplomatic bag.
Diplomatic papoose, if you will.
Yeah, there we go. Diplomatic valise, mm-hmm. diplomatic shipping container, crate.
They come in all shapes and sizes.
Diplomatic mm-hmm. fanny pack.
It's kind of like how any airplane the U.S. president is on is Air Force One. It becomes that. So anything you put the right official stamp, lock, and seal on, that container gets some of the same rights that individual diplomats have as people. You've got a bit of immunity. Your container cannot be searched. It can't be seized so long as it contains articles for official diplomatic use.
Huh. Huh. Yeah. How do you confirm if said items enclosed are for official use?
Well, you can't, because you can't look inside. Don't ask stupid questions, Matt.
What?
No cheating, right?
Sort of a Schrodinger's pouch type situation.
Yeah, I say yeah. So, therefore it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is methamphetamine for government purposes.
So we can stay up late to do all the work.
Yeah, these North Korean counterfeit super notes are for the Swiss bank, not for you guys. Don't jam us up. You said you were being cool. Yeah, North Korean officials have used Diplo pouches to smuggle drugs, counterfeit currency. One example of how easy it is for this stuff to go wrong. Do you guys remember back in 2012, someone not officially identified used counterfeit diplomatic pouches to send 35 pounds of cocaine straight to the UN?
That's a lot of pouches.
Bro.
It was two bags, I think. Yeah, two bags they officially caught.
I guess that's
one big party.
That's a question that I have, though. Like the nature of the pouch in terms of it being an accessory.
Oh,
it can be anything, or is it like a particular style or brand?
You can ship huge things in these huge pouches they've created, as long as it's got that State Department official language and
so
stuff.
Cargo,
on it, and code.
Even, right?
Like, yeah, shipping container.
Wow.
Yeah, like it just needs the lock and seal and the super official stamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if you just, I don't know, I'm looking around, I'm imagining stuff that I could fit into some of the pouches I've seen. You could fit a guitar in some of them, and they have this like brown kind of color that is just off-putting in a weird way.
You forced me to do it. I'm Googling.
Like here I have a lunchbox from our friends at McSweeney's with the right stamping, with the right heraldry signage and lock and seal. This would qualify as a diplomatic pouch.
Whoa,
that's a cool lunchbox too.
You know what? Some
yeah,
of
is.
These are more like diplomatic duffel bags, and they're yes. emblazoned like mm-hmm. diplomatic bag. The property, the People's Republic of China, A12587 is one that I'm looking at. And then there's one
or like
literally a wooden shipping container with that stamp right, on it and like draped yeah. with a mm-hmm. velveted cloth that says Swedish diplomatic Sweden? Pouch. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
Classic Sweden. Yeah. They've got this
style over function for sure. No, actually they're big into function over function. They're an equal measure of style and function.
What's that aesthetic called? Hemma? The Swedish concept is this aesthetic of living comfortably. Mm-hmm. We agree with it. Anyway, the thing with this smuggling of massive amounts of cocaine is that they were not using real Diplo bags. They knew most people do not understand what those look like, so they made a close counterfeit, and it made it all the way from Mexico City to New York City, primarily because most people couldn't tell the difference and they got shook. They saw something that looked like a bag they had maybe seen earlier, or looked like signage they had maybe seen earlier, and they said, oh, okay, we gotta, you know, move this forward. It didn't get popped until it made it all the way to the actual United Nations.
Dude, okay, let's talk about that. So if you put a phone number on that bag that is like a lot of the other State Department signage for diplomatic purposes, like the ones that's on the licenses that people carry, like the one that you can find on a license plate on some State Department issues cars.
Sure.
You just call that number, and whoever's on the other end, you ask questions or try and confirm, is this bag legit? And you probably, if you're like me, who called like one of these numbers earlier today, you just believe whatever the person on the other end of the line says.
So it could be a fake number.
Yes. Yeah. You just put a fake number, and now you just, that's kind of terrifying.
Well, unfortunately, I don't know if it works anymore, but this was a great exploit, and you absolutely nailed it. There's also a long record of people pretending to be diplomats, which is also cartoonishly easy, you know, if you've got your vinegar about you. We do have to say, though, this is the part we really want to get to. Yes, some individual diplomats and people we could call VIPs do get away with stuff. A lot of stuff, with very few things in the way of actual consequences. And speaking of crime, yes, individual diplomats and people we could call VIPs do get away with stuff, up to child abuse, domestic violence, manslaughter, willful murder. It gets really dirty really quick, and that is going to be part two of our series on diplomatic immunity.
It feels right. There's just so much there, and it's really truly kind of plumbing the darker depths of this topic. So please tune in for part two.
In the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in, fellow conspiracy realists, diplomats, non-diplomats, criminals and non-criminals alike. We can't thank you enough for your time. We want to hear your thoughts, your experiences. Tell us if you've ever seen a shady diplomatic pouch. We try to be easy to find online. You can get us on the internet. You can call us on a telephonic device. You can even send us a good old-fashioned email.
I'd like to put forth that the producer and DJ Diplo is missing out on a crucial merch opportunity. You should have the Diplomatic pouches.
Agreed. Are they pouches that play his songs when you open them?
Maybe. I don't know. We can workshop.
That's how you know it's real. That's
yes,
how you
exactly.
Know
it's real. And what are some ideas that you might have for merchandising opportunities for Diplo? You can write to us all over the internet. We're Conspiracy Stuff on X, FKA Twitter, on YouTube, where we have video content galore for your enjoyment, and on Facebook with our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number. You can call it right now. It's 1-866-217-2089. Oh, wait, nope. Sorry, that's the Diplomatic Security Command Center.
Call that one, too. Leave them plenty of voice messages. You don't even have to limit it to 3 minutes.
I call them all the time. Ask for Steve.
Actually, let's not harass the State Department.
Why? But they don't harass. Don't harass. Just check in with Steve.
These are reasonable questions. We're all so lonely.
They are available 24/7. If you want to call us, our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. When you call in, please leave a cool nickname for yourself and let us know within the message if we can use your name and message on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in a 3-minute message, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read each piece of correspondence we receive. It does not have to be a long email. It can be any length format that you wish. We want to see those ancillary links. We want to hear your favorite stories. We also always love to hear recommendations for new episodes you feel your fellow listeners may enjoy. Be well aware, yet unafraid, sometimes the void writes back. So you can see us online. You're not going to catch us in Vienna. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Is your AC struggling? Loud noises, weird smells, uneven temperatures, sky-high energy bills? It might be time for a new system. With over 25 years of experience, AirPros will get the job done right, and right now, AirPros USA can help you get that new AC installed before summer and offers financing with payments as low as $89 a month. Get your free AC installation quote today. Visit AirProsUSA.com. Don't suffer through another hot summer. Visit AirProsUSA.com.
Financing offered with approved credit. License number CAC 182-2083, CFC 053314, DC 13010393.
Take the whole summer off without paying.
Rick Case is the place.
Hi, I'm Jaswan Martinez, General Manager. Now at Rick Case, buy any new Hyundai, like a new 25 Santa Fe, all with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles, and owner assurance. And pay nothing at all till fall. That's no money down and no payments until September with approved credit. Plus, get in and out of the dealership in an hour or less, guaranteed.
Rick Case is the place.
Pay nothing at all till fall at Rick Case Hyundai on Weston Road or at rickcasehyundaidavy.com.